Hey, Colin.
Yeah, Cadence.
Do you like media and entertainment that's badass?
Duh.
Do you like media and entertainment that's bitchin'?
Yeah.
And how about a little bonkers?
Hails, yeah, throw that in there.
Then I think you might like this thing called the Baywatch Rewatch.
Oh, God. Are you trying to promote the podcast I'm actively doing with you right now?
A little bit. Is it working?
Cool intro. All right. Well,
let's get started.
Let's get into it, guys. Hey, everybody, it's Colin.
Oh, hi.
Hey, it's Colin.
It's Cadence.
Wouldn't that be funny if all of a sudden I was like, hey, it's Chris.
You just stole my joke.
I did, because we just had to redo it.
you dick.
Because Cadence was like, wouldn't it be funny if she was like, hey, it's Colin and Allison.
And then Colin just kicked me off my own podcast.
It's her own, like. Cadence was a huge, she's like the main one behind this.
The genius.
The vaginius. I'm up in Northern California. We're together in the same room right now.
We are.
Which is fun because we do a lot better if we're in the same room.
Yeah, we do remote recording all the time. But the reality is the energy is just a little bit different.
We can side eye. We do the NPR side eye. I always am like looking at her, catching her. Girl, you didn't. You just said that.
Is that all NPR people do? Is
they just side eye.
Side eyes, girl.
All right, guys. So last time we left off, we had the stripper robbers.
Right.
We had the sex therapist, Gypsy.
That just kept getting run out of every town she was in. Didn't matter that she had a station and a following and a degree, apparently.
Yeah. And she had, like, yeah, a total.
The general public was like, get the hell out of here.
Chased her out with pitchforks.
Are you trying to talk about sex?
Yeah. So this week, not to give too much away, but we're going to be dealing with some pretty tough after school topics, guys. Neo-Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
And adrenaline thrill seekers.
Yeah, I mean, neo-Nazis feels relevant at this point in time.
Hitting a little close to home.
But the adrenaline thrill seekers might feel a little hard for the general audience to relate to. Because it's
I need it all the time.
It's not just adrenaline thrill seekers. It's an adrenaline thrill-seeking gang.
Yeah, and we have a lot of questions as how they became a gang.
Right.
Like the initiation process, what you have to do.
Because they're all, guys, it's not like kids. It's not like 16-year-olds being dumb. Like, no, these are full-grown-ass men.
They're like, I would guess, between 35 and 40-year-old men.
Yeah, for sure. They all have, like, terrible facial hair.
Oh, yeah.
Like, full jobs. They live in a beautiful house on the beach, so they're making a decent amount of money. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea if they all signed a contract, if they had a formal meeting, if someone read back the minutes, if they used parliamentary procedure.
How did they get in here? Yeah. So we're going to be dealing with that, but it's going to be a wild episode. So hold on to your tits. Let's get started. All right, so it's another beautiful day, middle of the day, over the beaches of California.
Yeah, I mean,
hundreds of tourists around.
We should always preface this with, like, everything that happens happens in broad daylight with thousands of people around, always.
And we're on a helicopter joined by four men, and they're all in different colored suits because it signifies that they all have different personalities. But red is just a traditional power color. So you see red kind of controlling the group. And there's a guy, his name is Todd, and he decides at that moment he's going to have a conversation with red because they're about to go skydiving. They're all about to jump out of this helicopter and go skydiving.
So, yeah, skydiving illegally, because that's part of the thrill seeking of this particular event, is they're skydiving where they haven't been licensed to skydive. So it's like you're in the middle of this already like adrenaline pumping moment. The helicopter blades are whirring, the motors are running, you got your headphones on, you're yelling at each other, shouting, and at this moment Todd's like,
listen, I've been thinking about the big one.
Yeah, I know.
Deacon Jojo told me you want out, that's okay. Look, a thrill's only good if you're really game for it. Some of us have more game than others. It's okay. All right, let's just do this jump for old time's sake, huh?
I've been mulling it over, and I just don't think I want to do the quote,
big one. Ooh, and we're all like, ears perk, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And so Red, he's like, Todd, you know what? Let's not worry about it right now. We're here to jump out of an airplane. Don't sweat it. So they all jump. They all skydive. But guess what? Todd's doesn't open. It just doesn't.
Todd's chute strategically does not open, as Colin said.
Floppy body just hits the water. And again,
This is all broad daylight.
So the three men, the remaining survivors, after they land, they meet on the beach, and the two are like,
"Gotta find help!"
"No,
but Todd,
Todd's dead. We know the risk. So do Todd. This is trouble, man. We got big trouble, Harry.
No,
Todd's body will sink. You'd never want to take us with him.
Oh, what are you saying? We should just walk away,
yes, unless you want to be staring at God knows how many felony counts. Look, we beat it back to my place, have a drink, and say a prayer for Todd. If anybody ever asks, anybody, we're at home all day watching wrestling."
Red, oh my God, Todd died. His parachute didn't open. And Red's like, "Really? Oh no." And they're like, "We got to call the police." And Big Red's like, "Nah, dude.
No.
We're going to get warrants. No. We were skydiving illegally. We just have to leave his body out there."
They're like, Todd's been a member of our gang for like 15 years. And Red's like, "Don't care. Don't want to get charged with manslaughter. Play it cool, guys. Let's walk out of here in our fully brightly colored jumpsuits with our parachutes trailing behind us. I don't think any witnesses will stand out to anybody."
Nope. Nobody apparently saw the body fall out of the helicopter over the beach. And so they all do trail off with their parachutes behind them, different colors. And they're just like, "Let's leave Todd. Bitch is dead."
Just act natural.
And I love how it's like, we cannot get a ticket for illegal skydiving. We have to say that. We just have to leave Todd.
Literally, Todd's body is floating in there.
In the background.
They're just worried about being ticketed.
For skydiving. Okay, so obviously cool, you know something's going on with this gang. And you know that Red is like obviously a pretty strict adrenaline seeking leader.
Yeah, he does not mess around. And he has zero compassion.
None.
So we meet TC in his apartment. And
as always,
you know what?
With his shirt off, his glistening body.
He's obviously not dressed. And he's obviously oiled to high heavens. Bless his little heart.
Must be emu oil.
So he's just sliding around his apartment.
He's slipping, sliding on his furniture. That's how he walked.
He doesn't have to walk. He just slides from room to room
on that wall.
Oh, the idea of TC doing that is making me laugh. And he has a message on his answering machine.
Do you guys remember answering machines?
Do you remember those? Oh, you have one. That's it. That's my impression.
Delete this message.
And I am really good at doing impressions.
This message is from a friend. Guess what his friend's name is?
Todd.
It's a blast from the past, TC. It's Todd, buddy. Hope your life is going well. Usual for me. Damn, wish you're home. I'm in a tight spot. I really need to talk. Hey, no sweat. I'll just catch you tomorrow.
And so Todd's like, "Hey, buddy,
it's
yada, yada, yada."
Guys, in case you're not clear, it's the Todd. It's helicopter Todd. It's body hit the water, no parachute Todd.
It's Todd who didn't want to do the big one Todd.
Right.
And TC's like, "Ugh, I really got to call that guy back.
But I got to go put on more oil. Don't got time now."
Don't got time to call him back now. Got to get ready for work. So he gets all more oiled up, hits on his police uniform. He goes to work and
slides right into that police
in
uniform.
There. And sure enough, they're like, "Dude, get out to the beach. Body. Dead. Parachuter."
And No. We don't know that he's dead yet. They just say there's an incident on the beach. This is important because he reports to the incident on the beach, goes down to check it out, and he sees his friend Todd for the first time dead.
You're right. It is. It's like a shocker for TC.
So it's like a double shock. The incident is someone has died. And the second shock is that it's someone he knows. It's someone who just left a message.
Yeah, the third shock is he left a message.
I'm just going to keep getting higher and higher.
So TC is obviously like torn up about this. And he's like, "Dude, I should have called Todd back. He left me a message." He's telling the rest of the team, including Chris, "Todd was my friend. How could this have happened?" Really
so
sad stuff.
They all go back to the firehouse slash
police
station. And TC is looking at the evidence. So he somehow has acquired Todd's parachute, right? But he's not wearing gloves. There are no official examinations taking place. He's just with his dirty old TC hands all over that parachute. Yeah,
it's crazy. Like, I have a lot of questions about how they do things, too. Because, like, sometimes they just show up and they're moving stuff around. And, like, these bike officers, like, how come they get the body and nobody else? And, like, do EMTs come? Because it's just a bunch of bike cops. So they just load them up on the back of their bike and bike them to the
they have, like,
cop
a
shop.
You know, like, in Alaska where the sled dogs have, like, a sled tied to the back? Like, they just have, like, a...
going through the beach with a dead body tied to the back. Like, there's a lot of questions there. Regardless, I digress.
So he's manhandling the parachute with no gloves. And he's like...
You used to jump the Navy, right?
52 times. Why?
Take a look at this. Look at the way the reserve is snagged and then ripped along the seam.
Be impossible to release on a cutaway.
Yeah.
You'd have no chance if the main parachute collapsed.
You think your friend's death wasn't accidental?
All I'm saying is that Todd has jumped over 700 times and he always packs his own chute, so this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Something is up. So he's from the get-go...
He's become a parachute detective.
And he says, like, I have parachuted X amount of times. I know for a fact that Todd has parachuted an X amount of times. This is not only a rookie mistake, this is a crime. Something has happened.
This is a planned mistake.
Exactly.
Basically.
So he is riled up.
We're all riled up at this point. I was riled up.
You're riled up.
TC goes home, slides right in the front door.
Slips and slides right in that
door. Talking to his girlfriend.
No. It's not TC's girlfriend. It's Todd's girlfriend. Remember? You thought this the first time you watched the episode.
I always do this. Okay. I need to stop jumping into things I don't know.
You know, how many episodes have we done of this?
And I still don't know what's going on.
How many?
I still have no idea. Who's who? TC slides back into his front door. And he has called Todd's girlfriend over to talk about this.
Right. And they're both so, so, so sad. And they're reminiscing about their life with Todd.
This is all that Todd had with him.
He still wore his high school ring.
Yeah.
When you guys were friends, that was the happiest time of his life.
How? The one thing Todd had with him when he died was his high school ring.
Who wears a high school ring?
Because it was in his possessions. And I'm like, really? Really?
And I'm like, TC, how
also,
long has it been since
you... what's a high school ring for?
I know. That's what
is
I'm saying.
Is it a sports ring?
I don't know. I think it's just like class of 2020 or something.
Did people do that?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Don't trust someone who wears a high school class ring.
Yeah.
No offense out there if you're a high school class ring. But also, I'm like... when was the last time TC talked to Todd? It doesn't really make sense, but it makes it sound like a long-ass time ago. But he can still be sad. Sadness is still a real thing.
And they were very close at one point. And Todd's girlfriend, who is now inheriting his class ring, Todd's class ring, she tells TC that Todd said the happiest he's ever been in his life is when he was friends with TC.
Oh, that is so sweet. That is really sweet.
Right.
But when...
Listen, you're asking the wrong question.
When are we just hanging out, Katie? And I'm like, hey, you know the happiest I ever was when I was friends with this guy named Michael. He was so my best friend. Like, no one does that.
I really love this moment that I'm in with you. However, it is not as good as the moment that I was with my friend Beth. It just wasn't. I'm not going to lie to you. I love you. I love making love. I'm talking to a
It took a weird turn, Katie Road.
I was thinking about...
like you were with your partner.
Yes, because Todd is with this beautiful buxom
blonde. I got what you were saying, but it just came
out. And in that moment, I imagine Todd and this beautiful woman, like, embracing it in lust and him just being like, you know what, this is all right, but, like, the best time I ever had was with TC.
Slippery old oiled up TC.
We never had friction. We just slithered and slathered. It was real natural.
So TC is talking to Todd's girlfriend, and he's obviously torn up. I mean, his friend Todd died. Even though they had a falling out, he's still torn up, but he can't stop being a cop. So he's like asking her all these questions, like,
Did Todd ever say anything about the crowd he was hanging with? Any names?
A very natural question. Mm-hmm. What kind of crowd was Todd hanging out with before he died?
Did he say anything about the crowd he was hanging with? Like, as if you're just going to be like, the crowd I am hanging with
is really cool.
They love adrenaline.
They love adrenaline. They jump out of things to kill each other. So she gives him a little bit of information.
There was this Aussie named Eric something. He's sort of the guru for some extreme guys down at the beach. Todd was always trying to prove himself to him.
she says there's Eric. He's an Australian, and he's the guru of the bunch. He's the leader.
He's Red Ranger.
And everybody in the group is always trying to impress Eric, and he's just pushing them further and further and further. And he says, so TC says, okay, that's great. Is there anything else?
All I know is that he lives with his stepsister, a blonde named Shannon.
Any idea where I can find her?
She practically lives on roller skates down at Doom Cove. She's got a rose tattoo on her shoulder. Can't miss her.
And she does
the classic, I don't know anything at all. All I know is that Todd lived with his stepsister, and his stepsister lives in Venice, and her address is 2145, and they've been living together for like 4 years, and she had a baby from this other guy's brother, but then Todd was like really upset about it, and like she also works at this place. I don't know exactly where it is, but I believe it's called Carnero's. So she basically gives him all the specific information he needs to track this down.
He's like, yeah, you're right, you don't know much, but I think I can start but with that.
We always crack up because every episode, it's like cops will be questioning someone, mm-hmm. and it'll be like, tell me anything you know, and they're like, I don't know anything. All I know is that he worked at this specific place and he was on leave from his W-2 and his W-2 number got put back by the IRS and then they redid a 1099 and he's contracted and he was only making $14 an hour and then an HR and they're just like, okay, so you know everything.
Right.
Everything about, why contest? Just say, you know right. what? I know a lot of stuff. Why do you have to go through this rigmarole? Just say, you know what? I do know a lot.
Time.
Let me tell you.
You know what? Let me, you might want to grab a notebook. I've got a lot of info.
A lot to tell you.
So this is what this conversation gives TC. I mean, he barely got any info.
Really,
so I
don't
know how. But this is what puts him on his journey for the rest of the episode. And it gets very intense.
So let's say he meets the stepsister of the Australian guy. That's how he gets into the gang.
Because he decides the best way into this gang is through Eric. Red is Eric. His stepsister, Shannon. And he knows that the only way he can really get in is through the side door, not the front door. And the side door is Shannon. So he hunts her down and seduces her in order to get into the gang. And it works.
It works because like she introduces him into Eric and the gang. And they're like, hey, you want to do adrenaline stuff? You know
hey,
what?
You want to go do some adrenaline stuff?
You want to do some adrenaline stuff? Long story short, they have all these bizarre games that they do with him. They, like, tie him up in a pool at one point, and he almost drowns.
He has to, they, like, put him in handcuffs, and then they throw him the key in the deep end of the
pool.
It's
weird, you guys. And I'm like, who does this?
There's, like a mountain bike of death ride.
If you guys want to come join our podcast, we put you through a full, you have to do a lot of shit. You have to kill another podcaster.
It is.
To get in. We make you go through a lot of hoops to get into our gang.
It's very serious business.
So
it's like
really weird, but it keeps building and building. And so you're constantly asking yourself, like, what is the big one? Mm-hmm. It's got to be a big one. But TC is ready. He is, like, infiltrated. He's trying to find out what happened to Todd, and he is going to bust.
And he gets so wrapped up in infiltrating the adrenaline gang. Like, he stops going to work.
Oh, yeah. It becomes his life. It consumes
him. And they're like,
him.
You're mourning Todd. I get it. But, like, this is getting out of control. He injures himself a couple of times during all of these.
Doesn't care, though.
Extreme sports.
It's that case of, like, it's that case that happens a lot. It's like, how far is too far to get into something? Is this becoming you, or are you still on the brink of like knowing that this is not you?
Because if you go in as a civilian and not a cop, like nothing you do counts, and we can't arrest the people. Like you have to go in an official capacity.
I didn't know that.
He is like really riding the line. And this is also where you see Chris starting to be like have a more personal relationship with him.
TC.
It's personal.
Personal?
Yeah, as in none of your business.
Oh, no. It is my business when I come with you at the beach, along with Palermo.
Great. Palermo sent you over?
No, he didn't have to. He came by the house today and you weren't here.
Was it the doctor?
I'm blonde, TC, but I'm not stupid.
Why is everybody on my back, okay? A good friend of mine just died.
I know that, and I know you're sad. You have the right to be, but, you know, there's more to it than that, and you know it. I mean, come on, look at you. You are so pumped up right now. I think you're on steroids if I didn't know you any better.
Thanks for the diagnosis, Doc, but I got zero time for this.
Why? You late for another rush?
Are you following me?
I'm a cop, remember? You know, if you're trying to get into this little clique to investigate a possible homicide, you better watch yourself.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I used to think so when I was drafted into a Tomcat. And so did the other pilots who wouldn't admit to their limitations and found out the hard way. Here. It's a Distinguished Flying Cross. It was given to me after a friend of mine crashed and burned. I always carried it with me when I flew. And when my eyesight was going, it made me realize that another trip in the cockpit could be my last. Hold on to it.
Because before they were just like colleagues, they kind of sniped at each other. But this is where Chris really comes through as like a human being. And well, she's TC like, and listen, I'm worried little, about you.
Will they, won't they? They've always had a little thing.
A little bit. In two episodes.
Because TC told the sex therapist, remember? He talked about Chris.
He also talked about the sex therapist. Yeah,
I'm sure we don't know.
He was horny for both of them.
But Chris, his colleague, the blonde one that they snip at, she is kind of having this capacity of being like a friend.
And she's like, listen, I'm not going to tell Palermo on you, even though you're breaking rules. I just want to know that you're going to be okay. This is also a quick side note is where we find out that the falling out happened between Todd and TC because Todd and TC were surfing in a spot that was known for being dangerous. And TC dared Todd to participate in this surf challenge. And Todd was like, no, I don't want to. TC's like, fine, you're a baby. TC goes and surfs it. Nothing happens. Todd goes and surfs it, gets into a terrible accident, breaks his leg. The next week was the test to get into the police academy, the physical exam.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
So TC ruined Todd's chances.
Yeah, TC got in, Todd didn't.
And then Todd got into a gang, and now TC feels guilty. Ugh, classic.
So as you can see, he's kind of on the verge of self-sabotaging because he...
As you can hear.
As you can see in your mind's eye as we talk.
As you tell this riveting story.
He is on the verge of self-sabotaging because he feels so bad about this whole thing. Okay, so TC has spent all episode proving himself challenge after challenge, adrenaline after adrenaline, and he knows, he knows that the big one is coming, and he's, because he sort of infiltrated this group a la Shannon, not a la, in lieu of Shannon.
I don't know.
Vis-a-vis Shannon.
via Shannon.
he knows something's about to go down. He's not 100% sure. But he does finally go back to work to meet with Palermo, Lieutenant Palermo, and say, listen.
So now you guys an apology, okay? Not exactly for what I've been doing, but for how I've been doing it. I'm sorry.
What the hell's going on, TC?
I think Eric Shea killed Todd. I also think I can prove it.
Hey, if you don't get yourself killed first.
No, I've been careful so far. But now I realize I can't do this thing alone anymore. The more immediate problem, though, is that Eric's got something big going down today at 3.
Like what?
Like an armored car robbery.
Are you across the line on this thing?
We on the record or off?
Sit down, okay? Chris, please. We're all friends here.
I'm straddling it.
Oh, damn it, TC.
Look, I realize I've shredded the rule book here, okay? But understand where I'm coming from. This is about a friend.
Have you done anything illegal?
No. I haven't crossed the line, I swear.
All right, tell me everything you've done up to this point and tell me how this heist is going down.
I'm sorry I haven't been around. I have been infiltrating this group.
Which is a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
It's another full-time job. You guys ever
infiltrated a gang, an adrenaline gang. It's a job.
And my adrenaline is constantly spiked, and then I have to wait for that to come down, and then I have to wait for it to spike again. It is really wearing me out. So he says, but the big one's coming, and I need you guys to be ready. I think I know what's happening. I'm not 100% sure. But you need to basically be ready to, like, on the second, hop on them bikes and go.
Yeah, get our bike cops ready, Palermo.
So, the day of the big one, TC.
Excited. Everyone's all happy. Everyone's in good spirits. The day of the big one.
Is this the day of the big one?
They wake up. It's like, stretch. It's the day of the big one.
It's
the big one.
It's like Christmas. So, they're all in their... They're in their speed biking uniforms, so the whole gang's wearing their colored spandex.
Different colors, okay. Power Rangers.
So TC comes in and he's like,
hey guys, so we're going to do this thing or what?
Guys, I'm ready for the big one. And Eric Red is like, oh, you are you? Is that why you were fucking a police officer? I mean, he didn't say fucking because it was network TV. But TC's like, what? And he's like, we saw you with that blonde. And he's like,
talking about the girl? Come on, man, I'm sleeping with her. It's my girlfriend. It's the uniform. You see, it puts me that much closer to the flame. You ought to try it.
Guys, I am sleeping with her because she's a cop. Like, that's why I'm doing it. It gets me that much closer to the adrenaline flame because I know I'm breaking the law.
Chasing that adrenaline flame.
She could arrest me at any moment. I mean, she does handcuff me, if you know what I mean.
It's a good back. I mean, TC thinking on his feet.
Really, he does. Because at that moment, he doesn't know anybody's seen him with Chris. And so when they confront him, he, like, for him to just be like off the top of his head, like, well, obviously, yeah. Like a moth to a flame, like a moth to a danger flame.
Adrenaline danger flame. And just to be clear, Chris had come over to TC's house to check on him.
Right.
We said that. She just wanted to make sure he's safe. So that's why they saw her there.
So
that day, they're like, okay, well, you can't come with us.
We are. You're not. What are you talking about, man? Come on. I'm ready to play. Oh, if only you were a player, not a cop.
So he's like, no. They keep fighting about it. And he's like, no.
You... Please.
No. Then he's like, no. Then they're like, no. I know. Well, I was thinking, because you had just said, they don't
and
let
And then he's like, I want to come. And then he's like, no. And then he's like, no, you really want to come? And they're like, no. And then he's like, you guys, I really want to come? And they're like, no.
Stop. It's so annoying.
No.
So annoying. No, you can't come. We're putting these handcuffs on you instead. And we're putting you back in the pool. So they do this thing. Yeah, they're
we're putting you
back in the pool. Because we said earlier that they
just
made him
the
do.
Way you said that. No, and we're putting you back in the pool. Like, that's a totally logical thing.
Because we told you earlier they made him do all these adrenaline junkie things, and one of them.
I don't think
well, now
that
I'm explaining. They tied him to a chair in a pool, and he had to get the key and unlock his handcuffs and get out of the pool before he drowned.
No, we're putting you back in the pool.
So they're doing that to him again, handcuffing him to a chair. They throw him in the pool, and they're going to go do the big one without
TC. It's like locking him in a closet or something. No, you have to go back to your pool. No.
And they pretty much know he's going to die, because no one's going to be there to save him.
Yeah, they don't give him the key
this
time. So
basically, they're trying to kill him.
Right.
And
But they can frame it. Like, it's a genius move on the part of Eric/Red, because he's like, we've already played this adrenaline game in the pool, and so when you die, it'll just look like we were playing that game again, and you didn't pass.
But they still killed him. They still held responsible.
Right, but Eric thinks he's a genius. So in Eric's mind...
Like, that's like got to be like manslaughter.
It's like manslaughter, yeah. Like, it's a full... Never mind, your friend falls out of a helicopter. Their parachute doesn't come out. You're worried about being caught by the police for that. But you have no qualms being charged with manslaughter for letting your friend die in an adrenaline game at the bottom of your pool?
Yeah, he didn't really think that one out.
No, he did not.
It was all going a little crazy.
You know what? His brain was so focused on the big one.
The big one.
Everything else is just falling by the wayside. Luckily for TC, though, Shannon arrives home, because Shannon is Eric's stepsister and they live together, as we learned from Todd's girlfriend, who doesn't know anything other than their living situation. She saves him. And at that moment, TC runs to the station. He's like, it is happening. Suit up and move out.
Let's roll out. And they all get their little spandex on.
And they all said, no, we're putting you back on the pole.
You've been an adrenaline junkie and you're really fucked up. You're not part of this police anymore.
You're high on adrenaline.
Come down. Have a smoothie. And he can't. And so they all...
That's the cure for adrenaline, is smoothies.
Yeah, relaxing smoothie.
Oh, yeah, after totally. Yoga,
relaxing smoothie.
Totally.
So they all do. All the biker cops, they get ready. They're going to bust the big one. And we learn now that the big one is basically just the bike cops following a armored vehicle that carries money. They're just going to steal the money.
Yeah, so we're going to briefly... run down.
The big one isn't that exciting, guys.
How the big one is executed. It doesn't take much time. The big one's not genius. Catching the people in the act of the big one is the genius
part.
That's
the genius part of this whole thing. The heist just consists of basically a rundown. Is they're going to put on their separate colored bike uniforms to know who's who. Red's the leader, blue and yellow.
Right.
They're behind. And it's a jewelry truck. It's not even a money truck. It's like an armored, secured jewelry truck.
And it looks, and immediately when you see it, you're like, oh, it's money.
Yeah.
But when you see what they got in there, it's just
we still
like,
don't actually know what they took. So the bike cops are all out ready. They know what's
going to
happen.
And you guys, you know that they are ready to take down this heist because they're wearing tracksuits. They're not just wearing their regular old bike shorts and polos.
Full wind blazers.
Full wind suits.
And they are ready. And so the truck is trucking up this road. You see the beautiful beach in the background. And
then all of a sudden,
Okay.
The two bike thieves pop out from behind a bush.
They and they don't just follow him. They like ramp up a tree and follow him, and they're hustling. And
they're staying behind the truck so that the side mirrors can't see them. They pull up close enough to plant on sticky explosives onto the back door of the armored car. At this point, they move to the side of the armored truck to get out of the way of the explosion. At this point, you would think that the two people in the cab of the truck would then see the two bikers in the side mirrors.
They're so focused to get that jewelry to the right spot.
They are, you know what? That's their life motto. Look ahead. Don't look back.
Don't look back. Laser focus. I don't need to care about
that. So after the door explodes, they go back behind the car.
Oh, yeah. So the door, well, hold on. The door explodes, and then the guy driving the truck is like, oh, backfire? Huge explosion, you guys.
The whole back of their armored truck has just exploded, and the guy who's driving.
He's like, oh, backfire? And the guy in the passenger seat's like, yep,
looks they don't stop. They're not like, maybe we should check this out.
That was a big backfire. That was, usually backfires.
The whole car shook.
Anytime I've ever had a backfire, the whole car usually shakes, and fire comes out of it. So they don't, and then so, like Cadence said, the two bikers go back in the back, so they can't be seen in the rearview mirror. Then they shoot a guy just sitting in there.
There's a guy sitting. So, like, the door blows open, right? You see a guy sitting in a one single chair facing the back. Okay, so I guess he's waiting for burglars or whatever to come in. That's the whole point of the chair.
But he didn't try to hide or
didn't
put
move,
up a
didn't,
shield.
And you would have thought that if that was his job, he would have a gun. He would be armed. So at that point, as soon as the door blows off, he's like, bang, bang, you guys are dead.
Yeah.
No, he just sits there patiently, waits for them to shoot him.
Know, maybe a shield? Maybe something to hide behind? A button to press? Also, the whole time this is going down, he could have knocked on the cab door and been like, hey, someone just blew up the back.
Because there's a solid like 5 minutes of the door blowing off and then him just sitting staring at the bike thieves that are about to break in. Like,
hey, someone just blew off the back. Could you guys pull over?
This actually wasn't a backfire situation. We actually, the whole back door is blown off.
They're shooting me right now and I'm facing them. It's awkward.
You know what? It looks like they are pulling out guns. If you guys want to just pull it over real quick, that would be great.
Oh, cool. You don't? You just want to keep driving?
Cool. So then he gets shot. They hop in, or one of them hops in the back. The other one's holding on to the other guy's bike because they don't want that to go flying
off. And keep in mind, the driver and the passenger have no, they don't feel any of this.
Nothing.
They are just sitting pretty, cruising.
So the bike thief opens the deposit box. He gets out a bag, as we said, that says like Interpacific Jewelry Exchange.
Ever seen jewels. You don't, it's like a small little Ziploc bag.
It's so tiny, you guys. It's like a fanny pack size. So there's got to be like shit tons of jewels worth lots and lots of money in there. I can't imagine the practicality of shipping that many jewels at that. I don't know. Anyway,
We're not in the jewel shipping business.
So he comes out. The other guy's been holding his bike the whole time. He jumps on the bike and they take off down the side of the mountain. And again, who's waiting for him?
It's Red, Eric, the leader of the gang.
And he has a truck.
And so they go and they get in the truck. But
they throw their bikes at the back.
This is another thing that we were... So as you're watching this, that's when the police crew, all five of our bikers, we got Casey, we got TC, we got Corey, we got Del Toro, and Officer Sergeant Palermo, all five of them on their bikes. Is it? What? What did I say?
Lieutenant Palermo. You said Officer Sergeant.
Oh, Lieutenant.
How dare you?
Sorry, I got to learn that. That's
Palermo's been through not just 3 days of training to ride a bike, but 8 days of training to become a lieutenant.
And they then decide, after they've watched this entire thing happen, that
right, because
they
they're watching from the side of the mountain with binoculars. The whole they watched the whole thing go down. Not a nary a budge from a one of them.
You could have just, I don't know, rode out and been like, hey, stop your car. Someone's trying to rob you guys. That could have solved the whole problem. But nope, they watched the guy get shot. They watched it get blown up. Everything.
They watched them steal the bag of jewels.
And then they're like, okay, well, now that the thieves got away and they're going towards their truck, now's the time to step in. And let me tell you, oh,
this is one of the best scenes ever from this show.
We have thieves trying to get away in a truck, driving, bikes flying out of the air. Crashed windshield. Ah, it's like a meteor storm of bikes.
It really is. Falling from different dropping out of the sky.
Hitting people, and they just, I mean, needless to say, they stop the whole.
Well, because the driver is trying to get out, you know, with the truck, and at that moment, he sees a bike coming straight for his windshield, and he slams on the brakes, and at that moment, TC, his whole bike goes through the windshield.
Him and his whole bike.
So you could imagine, like, if if these criminals had their shit together, they'd have been like, oh, well, we have the bigger vehicle. I mean, we'll just keep going fast. Full speed and we'll just hit him. Mm-hmm. He'll bounce off the windshield and be dead and or grievous bodily harm. But no, they panic. He goes through the windshield. They get out of the truck to run away on foot. Mm-hmm. And TC tackles the shit out of Eric.
Steve, I should just kill you. Hi, Eric. That's the whole point, isn't it? Come on, man. Give me a break.
Yeah, like the one you gave Todd.
What's wrong, Eric? Too many thrills for one day?
And for some reason, the guns are gone. No one...
Yeah, no one had weapons for whatever reason.
Like the bad guys, their weapons are just gone. I guess they didn't think they needed them. So
They thought they were done.
They probably just threw them in the bushes. We're done.
Okay, we're not going to need these guns. Don't take them.
So the whole bike squad just works together and they take down these three criminals.
Oh, and TC's face, because now Eric, Red, is seeing him for who he really is. And he's like, oh my God, it's you. And TC's like, oh yeah, is this how you screwed Todd over? Is this how Todd felt?
I thought I left you in the pool, bitch.
He's like, I put you back in the pool where you belong.
How'd you get out? And he's shocked.
They arrest him. And the very final scene, it really just cleans things up real nice because TC and Chris are making their rounds on the beach. And TC's like,
they're confessing to Todd's murder. That should send him away for years.
Just deserved.
Listen, I don't think I'll be needing this anymore.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Thanks for not letting me crash and burn.
You're not going to get all mushy on me now, are you, Calloway?
Yeah, well, now that Eric has confessed to Todd's murder, he's going to be in jail for the rest of his life.
Wrapping that up real nice. Nice little bow.
I mean, for an adrenaline junkie, you think that Eric would put up a little bit more of a fight during questioning? He'd be a little bit more like, nope. You can't make me. You can't make me. But instead, he's like, yeah, I did it. The whole thing, I did it. Good job, Eric.
And then it ends. And we're
way to be a guru.
An adrenaline guru. Yeah, what happened with his Jennifer? What was her name? The stepsister.
Oh, yeah, Shannon's just out of the picture. Shannon. We don't even follow up. And they, like, TC and Shannon have, like, a little romance. They make out. Yeah. So, yeah, he just leaves her in the dust. Poor Shannon. She's on her inline skate somewhere crying.
She doesn't know what happened. She's in her stepbrother's
mansion. She has no idea because it's like they went on the big one without her. Last she knows, TC was coming out of the pool. So she thinks she's still involved with TC. Has no idea he's a police officer. Has no idea this was just, like, a side gig for him.
TC just dropped her like a rock. He's like, done. Done with the adrenaline.
Poor Shannon. She's lost somewhere. Poor girl.
Skating around.
Inline skating her pain away.
All right, guys. We are jumping into episode 4. Right. After we saw episode 3, Adrenaline Junkies.
Still heart pounding.
Talk about adrenaline. Mine's still going so bad.
I'm going to crash so hard after this.
Get a new smoothie.
I do need a chill smoothie.
A little smoothie. In this episode, episode 4, we're going to tackle some pretty big issues.
Yeah, and just to be clear, so... this is an episode about racism
and some really tense race relations.
Yeah,
really intense.
The descriptor for this says that there are neo-Nazi surfers patrolling the beach. Mm-hmm. So let us be clear. The joke is we're never going to be joking about racism. Nebs. We would never do that, ever.
No.
We may, however, make jokes about the way this show approaches racism.
Yeah, or the way the storyline or the plot like deals with it.
Or the way the actors choose to play their racist parts.
Or some of the ways they wrote it, but we, on a serious note, are never, ever making fun of racism is awful and we hate it. And
we will never joke about it. However, there were some very bold and confusing choices made by the Pacific Blue team. That's all we're gonna say. So we open with a beautiful day where there's so many surfers at the beach, not a wave in sight, but apparently these surfers can't stop flocking to the calm waters.
They picked a day to film. There's no waves.
Not a
wave.
Still like lake water. Like
they're not even breaking at the beach.
Still water. So we learn also at this moment that TC is a very experienced surfer, and he's bringing Del Toro to the beach to teach him how to surf. Well, we also learn in this moment...
You know, I hate the sand. that feeling between your toes.
Never mind that Del Toro's been literally patrolling the beach for years.
Literally years.
We find out that he does not like sand.
He just doesn't like the way it feels, Katie.
He doesn't like it between his toes.
He doesn't like between his toes, okay? Come on, get a life.
So while he's pontificating about sand, meanwhile, there is a surfer exiting the water who is of Latinx descent. So he comes out of the water, and what do you know? The neo-Nazis
come up. They find him. I don't even know how. Like, it doesn't even really make sense. But
they've been patrolling the beach. Neo-Nazis patrolling the beach. It was in the descriptor.
Yes, but I'm just saying there are thousands of people. This is Huntington or Venice or Hampton?
Fasuntington Beach.
Fasuntington Beach. There are like literally a melting pot of people. So right. It just is funny to me. But yes, they've targeted this one person.
Hope you enjoyed that ride, Taco Head, because it's your last.
Oh, great. Let me guess. You're going to tell me this is your beach, right?
I don't know how you managed to miss the message, amigo. Maybe it's because we put the word out in English, huh? This beach is off limits to unlocals.
Oh, guys, don't call people taco
that is
heads.
The worst.
Come on.
Maybe unless they're really into Del Taco or Taco Bell.
You could call me a taco head.
What if they're like hardcore?
I fucking love tacos.
What if they're like hardcore taco fans?
Yeah, like I'm okay with that. You can call me a taco head. I'm good. I will be like, that's actually
you can
a compliment.
Call me one too.
I love tacos.
Very true.
Don't call people of color taco heads just based on the color of their skin.
They start harassing this guy. Eventually, they get him. They're beating him up. They're putting his head under the water. And at that same time, TC and Del Toro.
Let him up. It's none of your business, man.
It is now.
Let him up, man. You guys are cool, man. You want to surf? Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Did I miss something here? We can surf this beach, but he can't?
That's right. He wants to surf. He can go south of the border.
South of the border. What do you mean by
that? Easy, Victor, easy, right? This could be educational. What we have here is a unique part of Southern California surf culture. Nazi meatheads who think they own the waves.
They save the young man who's being bullied by the neo-Nazis. And at this moment, so Del Toro, we should say, has lighter skin. And the neo-Nazi mistakes him for a white man.
So dumb.
It isn't until Del Toro starts speaking fluent Spanish to the person who is being bullied that the neo-Nazi realizes that he is too a person of color. And so at that point, he's just like, oh, I see how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see how it is.
You guys are taking over. Your people are taking over. A lot. Oh my God. I can't forget.
That was the most, everybody
knows the word yada, yada, yada. How did I mess that up?
Yada, yada, yada.
The whole kerfuffle ends and they threaten Del Toro.
Hey, pal, you got a problem? We can solve it right now. You want a piece of me, honey? Let's play.
And so that sets up sort of this tense situation that permeates the episode. Simultaneously, we are dealing with a serial tagger in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this kid. His real name is Tucker. His tag name is Mellow. And he is tagging up the city left and right. He's like 13, 14.
Call him
Mellow Yellow.
I was going to make a freeze tag reference. Call him Mr. Freeze because, you know, freeze tag.
Oh, like the game from like Playground?
Yeah, I was going to call him Mr. Freeze because he's a tagger.
That could have possibly worked.
Never
worked. I mean,
you are looking at me like I am.
I've heard
but it
worse.
Didn't work.
I heard a lot of worse.
I still can't believe I messed up yada, yada, yada. But it's just like the time you couldn't do the turkey noise. And you were like, there's a killer turkey. And he comes up, glare, blar, the car, blar. And I'm like, it's gobble, gobble. Gar, blar,
no!
Blar.
You always give me shit about this. But I was quoting the turkey because he says, gobble, gobble, motherfucker. And I said, gobble, gother, because I was trying to say it.
Gobbler, marner. So you have no right to make
all
comments.
All right, all right.
Lot,
I make a lot of mistakes, too.
You're the worst. So this tagger's name is Mellow, real name Tucker, and he is just tagging that city left and right.
And he's like 14, if you didn't hear me before. He's a young one. And he's also black, okay? So you've got, not only do you have like the Latinx crowd represented, you also have this young man who is a person of color, and he is also getting scooped into this race storyline because he doesn't, like, they should just be like, oh, what a, just cause some trouble, this little guy. But instead, they want to haul him into the police station and really press charges for something as silly as tagging.
So silly. Time passes, and we find out that the neo-Nazis, okay, we find out that they own a bar and a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Carl is his name.
Carl is his
name. He's the head Nazi.
He's the head Nazi. And he runs a, I wouldn't say successful, but it's an open
bar. It is a bar, though.
Yes. And people frequent this bar, and he's just got Nazi paraphernalia left and right
on the wall. You guys, his motto is a surfboard. And over that surfboard is a helmet with a swastika on it.
Nice artwork, Carl. You do it yourself.
Like,
that's on his literal outside logo.
Which brought up a lot of questions between Kittens and I on, like, a very real level. Like, can you, like, that was just in the 90s, mid-90s. Right. Could you just do that?
We spent a lot of time deciding if that's even allowed.
Like, is that even, we really didn't know. And the show, if it's based on any kind of reality.
Who knows?
They say that if it's your private, if it's your own privately owned thing, you can do whatever you want.
And that if so, he, yeah, if he was to move it onto the sidewalk, they could arrest him, but not can't. If it's his business.
We need to look up. We are not lawyer. We got to figure this out. But it was brought a lot of questions.
Oh, but you know who is a lawyer.
Oh, that's what I was getting at.
Carl!
So Carl, the neo-Nazi, not only owns a bar and restaurant, he also went to night school to become a lawyer.
He got his law degree from night school. As one does.
He's a fucking monster, but you know what? He went to night school. He's trying to make something of himself.
He's the leader of the Nazi group.
He's a monster.
Owns a bar and grill.
He's trying to make something
of himself. And also a night school lawyer. You know what? So whatever, Carl.
Do your thing. And that's why he knows he can do
or
all these things.
Or don't do your thing. Or,
yeah, don't do your...
Absolutely, do not do your things. So how they end up getting him into police custody is a churro vendor who is a person of color is outside on the sidewalk selling churros in front of Carl's bar.
Mm-hmm.
Carl does not want to have any part of this. So he comes out with a baseball bat with his two other thugs from the beach.
I want you to tell you this once, Mr. Sanchez. No churros on this beach.
But I have the right.
You got the right to sell hamburgers and hot dogs. So you start selling churros, attracts the bad element.
But I've been here for 10 years.
And I've been here 10 days. And that's my bar. See, I got the right to say who can and can't work in front of it. That's the law. If I want Rush Limbaugh out here selling donuts and apple pie, that's my right.
He bashes every last glass pane of the churro truck. He tells this guy, you can't sell churros here. It brings the less desirables. I'm kind of like people from Disneyland.
You guys, L.A.
People who love churros.
L.A. and that whole Southern California is known as a melting pot. Like, it is
where does this guy
so
think he
diverse
lives?
And there are so many awesome people there. He's just really picking the wrong place to all of a sudden make this stupid, awful statement.
So, but because he has committed an assault on another human being, they do come and arrest him and they take him to the police station.
And that's where they find out all this
stuff. So he is being held in police custody for a brief period of time. He is listing all of the numbers of the offenses he has committed. He's like,
gentlemen, you can either book me in on a 594 for malicious mischief or a 242 for assault and battery or a little 415 for disturbing the peace if you'd like. Or you can just let me go. Either way, you guys got to make a decision.
Well, you held me on 153, but it's actually a 166, and that's actually just a fine, so you got to let me out of jail.
Just being a dickhole trying to be all stupid.
In case you didn't know,
I'm a night lawyer. So yeah, they find out, and he's just being a dick and be like, oh, arrest me, whatever.
So they let him out, and he's ticked. So TC, and meanwhile, Del Toro's like, oh, let me in there, I'm going to punch him in the face. And they're like, no, bide your time. Neo-Nazis.
Violence is the answer.
They know that if you just wait long enough, they'll implode. They'll sabotage themselves. Just give it time. So their plan with him is to just sort of wait it out.
These guys are idiots.
But something ruins their plan, which is the surfer from before who gets attacked at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up at the bar, at the neo-Nazi bar, and he's looking for trouble. He's looking for a little bit of revenge. And he brings with him a black person, a black man. And there is when a giant fight starts.
Huge fight starts, you guys.
People are trying to kill each other, right? So at that moment, the station, that's a fire station, but also the police station.
Mm-hmm. Where all of our bike cops are.
Gets the call. And Palermo's like, oh, there's a big fight at our favorite Nazi bar. And Del Toro's like, let me at him. And he's like, no, I already sent two big units in. And then we cut to the bar and TC walks in the door alone. So like, Colin and I are just like, are the units his biceps? Like, what are the two big units? Yeah, he's
like flexing like unit one, unit two.
I mean, my two big units.
We are. We're like, you said, he literally uses the word two big units.
Two big units.
To the scene. And it is just TC
walking in. Is that TC's nickname? Two big units?
We got a couple big units, uh-huh.
I'm trying to imagine the sexual connotation.
I know. I was like, it's a unit. You can call it a unit.
Two big unit, but two big units.
Hey.
I mean.
Hey, I mean, if you got them flaunting.
That's
right?
True.
You got them
flaunting. That's true. More power to you, TC. If you got two big units, call me.
We can play Leaky Submarine.
He's probably so good at that game.
He's probably really good at that game. TCM if you're out there.
Okay, so TC responds to the bar.
Big unit TC.
Two units TC.
Two units TC. Two units Tussie. Sorry, I'm not going to go down the Tuss route again.
I think we'll always end up going down the Tuss route just a little bit. So TC arrives and when he gets there, the two men are already knocked out, the two minorities, and the guys are all standing around just looking at the other guys being knocked out. TC grabs Carl, the night lawyer. He's like, what have you done? And at that moment, Carl tells one of his friends, one of his other neo-Nazi friends, to hit him with a pool stick. So his friend socks him in the face with a pool stick. Guess why? Because now all three of the neo-Nazis who are in it together can lie to the police and say, listen, TC came in here. He knocked me out. He hit me with a pool stick. All I was trying to do is keep the peace in my own bar because these two came in here looking for trouble. And TC assaulted me.
Oh, he tells his neo-Nazi friend to hit him.
Yes.
Him, so, not TC with the pole stick. So that's where I was so confused.
Right. So he frames him. So Palermo and Chris come down to the bar and they're like,
all right, we have three witnesses with the same story saying you came in here steaming, slamming Carl against the wall, and then cracking him over the head with a cue stick.
No way. All right? That's a bunch of bull, Lieutenant. His own buddy whacked him with the stick. Right.
And all three of these witnesses are friends of the victim?
Yep, matching tattoos.
What about the two going to the hospital?
Savino Gomez and Johnny Lane, but they were both knocked out cold before TC came in the door.
That's just great. You might as well just take my badge, my gun, and suspend me now.
Well, that was Carl's suggestion. He also cited you for a prior incident. You assaulted him on Topanga Beach the other day.
I told you about that, Lieutenant. I was trying to teach Victor how to surf. Those guys were giving that kid Savino a hard time, and we broke it up.
Yeah, well, their story is that Savino came in here looking for revenge and then brought some Muslim with him and is starting with them.
Oh, yeah, and they were just sitting here minding their own business, conducting a spelling bee.
You know, Lieutenant, we did have a couple run-in with these guys this week, and he did tell me about the surfing incident this week.
All right. These guys are clever. Let's run into the firehouse, and I'll go talk to Internal Affairs.
Okay? Yes.
Just keep a cool head.
Listen, three witnesses say that you came in here and then you knocked him out. You hit him with a pool stick. So what are we supposed to do? And Carl, the night lawyer, has already cited you for a prior incident for assaulting him at Topanga Beach.
Topanga?
So that's the
Boy
beach,
Meets
I guess.
World?
I know.
But how do you catch these things?
Because I freaking listen.
I don't know how she does it. She all of a sudden becomes PhD in every episode. And I'm like, nowhere did they say,
literally,
when did they say Topanga Beach?
She said, he already cited you for a prior incident at Topanga Beach the other day. I will play a sound clip.
He also cited you for a prior incident. You assaulted him on Topanga Beach the other day.
If only you guys had access to the amount of recordings that we have had to erase because Colin tries to tell the story and has no idea what's going on. But whatever, whatever, whatever.
That's a topic for a different time, how I cannot
whatever.
Do it.
Heaven forbid.
I pay attention.
So at this point, Carl has arranged it. He and his friend, since they're the only ones who have, quote, witnessed these incidents, that they're trying to get TC suspended. And TC's like, fine, suspend me. Take my badge. Take my bun. Just get, I, take my bun. Take my badge. I know.
You're like, fine, suspend me. Do it. Say, take my badge. Suspend me. Do it. Take my badge. Taste my gold. Take my club. I'm like, what are you doing?
They're in a bar, so he's a little tipsy.
He's a little tipsy.
He's gone. He's taking me to Singapore. I'm supposed to take it.
Dare you spend me.
He explains what has happened. And then Chris pipes in and she's like, you know what? Palermo, in his defense, he did tell me after the beach the other day what happened. So he said, okay, well, I'm going to go to internal affairs. I'm going to talk about it.
Got to go to HR.
I'm going to make sure that they don't suspend you. Meanwhile, Carl, the night lawyer, is being held in police custody. Palermo and a city attorney are present with him. Mm-hmm. And he's making it very clear
that he went to night school. Between running a bar,
I mean,
being a total asshole racist, and being a night lawyer, like, where do you have the time?
And a surfer who patrols the beaches.
Oh, yeah. For, oh,
well, like, he's got, he's got a full dance card. Jesus. I don't know. So he's basically saying he's sticking to the storyline because he has his witnesses of his neo-Nazis, and he's like,
I'm well within my rights.
What about the vendors you ran off? What about their rights?
Well, they chose to leave. See, they understand that this community is changing back to the way it should be.
You mean cleansed to your liking?
We're just making it a safer community for everybody.
Don't give me that.
You're a city attorney. You must look at the statistics on crime in this area every day, right? Can you honestly tell me they don't fall along racial lines?
They fall along socioeconomic lines. Race has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's the party line, all right.
But I suppose you have a final solution.
Look, nobody has a problem with what I'm doing except one rogue cop with a chip on his shoulder. I got a bar full of people down at the beach who like it.
This is where the city attorney is like, oh, he can do whatever the hell he wants if it's on his bar. Also, this is 1996. He can burn a cross on the top of his bar if he wants to. It's only when he burns a cross on the beach that it becomes a problem because that's public property.
Mm-hmm. But again, we don't know. Fact check. No, I don't know. We don't know.
Right. So this could have been the law in 1996. We don't know if things have changed. Who knows? Either way, they tell him you're right. We have nothing to hold you on.
Yeah. Get out of here, Buster.
So Carl's like, cool, I'm going to be on time for my night class.
And he's like that sleazy. Cool, I've got a driver's ed class at night at 9:30. I got to be too. But that's, he's also like a total smug asshole, by the way.
Carl. Yeah, slick hair. I mean,
obviously.
Every facial expression he makes is to the maximum. Oh my gosh.
Do you guys, you know SNL. I don't know if you listeners out there watch. We're obviously huge SNL fans, but he is total guy
it's
who bought a boat.
It's this really like small like comedy show
that it's really indie.
Comes on really late Saturday nights. Not a lot of people watch it. It's a very specific kind of comedy.
No one's ever come out of it. No one's ever famous, but he's right. Totally guy who bought a boat. Mm-hmm. That's what he looks like, yes. And that's what he acts like.
Yes.
Hey, bro, chacho, amigo. I am, like, he's totally
mm-hmm.
like...
Yes.
That's his style.
Accurate. Looks the same as him. Like, hair slicked back. That's the thing that kind of surprises you about this, is you would imagine that he'd be bald. And this whole time, you've probably been picturing him as bald because he's a neo-Nazi. But he's not.
I guess, is that
he's
part of the...
He's got a luscious head of hair. Is that part of the... skinheads.
Oh, duh. Oh, my God. Duh. Yes. Idiot.
A lot of skinheads.
A lot. You're right. Oh my God, I wasn't even thinking about that. But no, he's opposite. Luscious, yeah. Curly, slicked back hair.
Mm-hmm.
Which hot in the 90s.
So hot. Sleeveless shirts. All three of them have a matching gang tattoo for their neo-Nazi gang.
Really? Mm-hmm. Ooh, see, where did you see that? Where is it? Prove it.
Chris says.
Prove it.
Yeah, they're all friends. They have matching tattoos.
Oh my God, you're lying. Does she really?
Yep, matching tattoos.
Yes, in the bar.
God, you do pay attention. You're a super pay attentioner.
I know.
I always just
pay a lot of attention.
I always just do the vague, like, I get a vague overview. I'm just okay, I get it.
Oh, really? You're not detail-oriented with these overviews?
I can be. I'm listening to these details, but you catch, like, the dumbest details. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, the office was painted blue. You didn't realize that? And the paint job afterwards? And I'm like, no.
Okay, I wouldn't notice it if it wasn't part of the story. But if it's something that's inherent to the story, then yeah, I'm paying attention to it.
Oh, my God. It reminds me, last night, we were watching that movie with Jed. And the kids were asking questions. And I would say something. I'd be like, it's because his sister. And he's like, no, it's because his wife was over there. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then it's like, and then they'd be like, why is he doing that? And I was like, because he went to go hurt that guy. He didn't. He was actually taking care of that guy. That's his brother. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like,
that's what I meant. That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
So, like, everything I said, Jed was like, actually, no, that wasn't him. It was a car. He and
that's such
a car.
That's such a Jed tone, too. Like, he's, like, not argumentative. He's just like, actually, no, that's not correct. This is what actually
And
happened.
I know it's not. Oh, well, I think, I mean, I thought I was watching the movie.
Yeah, plus your heart. You always think you're watching it. You always think you're watching this show. You always think you know what's going on.
Deep down, I have no. It's like that hair.
There's no
wheel.
Deep down about it. Right on the surface. Yeah. You're doggy paddling.
I'm doggy paddling, just like in my own world, just not knowing.
Oh, it's okay. And the other thing that's helped me pay attention is I watch closed captioning. And then I catch a bunch more dialogue that way.
I never read closed captioning. I can't do it.
Sometimes I'm not hearing everything. And so when I'm reading it, I've always been like just a visual learner.
See, some people like, well, okay, there's two. We're just going to get into this because it's time we talk about it. With Cadence, it's time we had a talk because we need to settle this. So with closed captioning, my eyesight's really bad. So I can catch.
Legally blind. Yeah, that's not a joke.
It is. It's just really bad. And so I can, like, see, like, half the words, so I'm trying so hard to, like, make out what the words are because I can't see them that well that it totally distracts me from what's going on screen and vice versa. So I usually just blank out subtitles and just try to watch
vice
it.
Versa.
What'd I say?
Vice versa.
It's vice versa.
It's vice versa.
It's vice versa.
It's
vice versa. Oh, we're doing this right now. It is vice versa.
It's vice versa. I promise you.
Vice versa. Oh, it's vice versa.
We are doing this right now.
I've always said
Colin
vice versa.
Colin was about to leap across the table and strangle me to death.
Vice versa. It's just vice versa.
Mm-hmm, which is what I just...
With the main items and preceding statement the other way around. Vice versa. Well, it's vice versa. I'm still going to say vice versa. Well, I'll be vice-ed.
Well, I'll be vice versa.
Vice versa. Why did I think that? Vice versa.
Well, I don't know. One less thing to pay attention to, I guess.
Oh, the claws are out, meow.
That's it. You're going back in the pool.
That's it. We're leaving you in the pool, Colin. I'm just sitting there, doggy paddling, tied to a chair.
Wait, what's going on?
Wait,
where am I?
What are you guys doing? So I have a little bit of a problem knowing where I am.
It's okay. It's okay. We have different strengths.
We all have different strengths.
And your
strengths. We're still trying to find mine.
Are hidden.
They're hidden somewhere.
I'm just kidding. But I'm finding you're by far the funnier one. I can be sort of the straight man in the sense that, like, I can keep us moving in the right direction.
Straight man.
Oh.
Offensive.
How dare I?
Oh, okay.
How dare I?
Whatever. No, I get what you're saying. You're like, you know, keep us on the straight and narrow.
Well, because like in comedy, there's like a straight man and there's the jokester.
I've never heard
so,
that.
So, yeah, it's a
this
term.
Is a lie.
You can go ahead and Google that, but I'm going to cut to the chase.
Oh, no.
Fast forward. I'm right.
We have to give a couple days before I challenge Google you on anything. I got to let it settle, the dust settle.
Fast forward. It's right. So, say, for example, Arrested Development, Jason Bateman's the straight man.
Mm-hmm.
Will Arnett is not. He's playing the jokes. He's being ridiculous.
So he's the jokester.
And Jason Bateman's character is always like the exasperated, like, you are so absurd. And so his reaction to the absurdity is what's funny.
Oh, yeah. He keeps it real.
Right.
Like the, okay. They keep it real.
So while I have a wildly hilarious sense of humor, when it comes to the podcast, being the straight man serves a purpose as far as moving us forward in the storytelling goes. I didn't want the responsibility of being the straight man. I didn't ask for that.
At this point, it just happened. If I was telling the stories, it would be so all over the place. It wouldn't even line up. There wouldn't be any, like, cohesive story.
Colin would be like, look at that guy's bathing suit. Look at that girl's hair. And the next thing that happens is, did you see that bird? And then the next thing that happened is, oh my god, that bike! Did you see that bike?
Did you guys see that bike? It was broken in the background. Like, where do you get that?
Are you looking at that gumball machine? That gumball machine has a ball on it.
That tattoo was crazy. Was that like a cat? What was that? Yeah. Okay. Well, we digress. But it's true.
We've addressed it. Whatever. We've done it. Okay.
So neo-Nazi Carl gets off. Obviously, he uses his night school lawyer skills to get out of that. whole thing.
He lists all the codes he knows and leaves.
It turns out that on Carl's walk home, he sees Mello. He was that young boy we talked about earlier. His name is Tucker. Mm-hmm. He's like 14.
He's been tagging
around town. He sees some of his tagging work and he decides that he is going to enhance it, his own words, with his neo-Nazi symbolism, and it's awful.
And it's beautiful because at this point, Mello has been...
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful because Mello's artwork has been accepted by the community. It's been accepted by the police department. He's not getting trouble for it. They're really wanting him to embrace being a mural painter.
Yeah, this isn't tagging anymore. It's like street art.
And because of that, Carl's ticked off because he's like, oh, so because he's black, he can just ruin the city with all of his paint?
He's basically a Karen.
So he comes in and sprays everything with neo-Nazi signs. And then when the police approach him about it, he's like,
"Boy, what's the matter, Lieutenant? You can't appreciate the work of a Caucasian artist?
You desecrated my building."
"Really? Well, the way I see it, I improved the existing work. You know, added a certain artistic statement to it. Matter of fact, I got the whole idea out of a book. What was that guy's name?"
"Ocampo."
"That's it. Manuel Ocampo. He put all kinds of Nazi symbolism in his work. They sell for lots of money."
"You had no right to paint that building."
"Oh, I think I did, lady. But you guys chose not to prosecute that little guy for his handiwork down there. Since I can only assume it's open season for minority artists, I felt a little need to express myself. You know, Lieutenant, being a white Anglo artist, I may be the one who's a minority around here. How's that for irony?"
It's like, no, bitch, you are... it's awful art. Your workmanship is awful.
Right, it's a swastika.
Look at what it is. Begging idiot.
Yeah. So he's real ticked about Carl, but they still don't have any proof that Carl did it. The police can't prove it.
There's no proof.
So Mello, in an effort to get back at Carl,
there's one good thing Mello's good at besides tagging. Car bombs.
Side gig.
I guess it's not a car bomb. It's like how does that work? They put the
Molotov
cocktail.
Yeah. It's where you have a bottle of alcohol, you light a piece of fabric and then it blows up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I figured it was that. So he does a Molotov cocktail. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
And he throws it in the car. And the best part is he calls Carl. Carl's working at his Nazi bar. He calls Carl. He's like,
"Tell me something. How good's your nose?
Come again?
I was just wondering. Can't you smell it yet, Carl?"
"Smell? Smell what?
Why don't you come outside and see? Can't you smell the smoke yet? Why don't you open your big white nostrils?"
"Oh, you can't smell that with your big white nostrils?"
Oh, no.
And Carl's like, "Fighting fire with you can't saying? Do that.
No."
And he's like, "Oh, I don't know. You might want to look outside." And at that moment, Carl runs outside with his baseball bat and his car is on fire.
The car is burning, bud.
So they see
good riddance.
Mello / Tucker. They all ascend on him with their baseball bats. They chase him through the entire town.
It's really sad. They're all getting him. And you know they probably took 100 takes because these guys look like they've been running a lot.
You know, their faces are acting very angry. Their bodies are like, we've been doing this. Their bodies are like,
we don't care so much about this.
So they finally corner him down at the beach. And
corner him at the beach, huh? How's that happen? Well, smarty pants, how's that happen?
It's like a little cove. Whatever. Well, okay, let's do this. There's three of them. So they create a corner with three points, like, you know, like a triangle. And then he's in the middle of a triangle. So he has been officially cornered. The act of corner has happened on him.
I guess. I'll let it slide.
So they are like, oh, you want to see what's about to happen to you? You want to see your life end? Like, they're getting ready to beat him to death with this baseball bat and drown him.
They're letting him know very loudly that, this is a public beach,
tourists in the middle of the day.
Full middle of the day, tourists in the background having barbecues, but this stuff's happening. No one's trying to stop it.
At that moment, our favorite cop squad.
Oh, you guys, this is the best. So there's like this guitar riff, like, and I actually put this on Instagram.
Oh, was that a cat?
I know, that sounded like haunted, like, strangled cat. I don't know, just forget it. There's a guitar riff. Stop laughing at me. There's a guitar riff and it's very intense. The bike cops, we see our
guitar cat, vice versa. It's all the same.
Bike cops. They don't go along the sand to the beach.
Mm-mm.
They don't go on the sidewalk to where it is. Mm-mm. And then run over. They actually ride their bikes through the tide, through the water, and it's splashing.
They ride
up
their bikes, they take the long way
motion
around, go all the way down to the water.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, take a hard left now.
And go like and go another 100 meters down through the waves. And I don't know if you guys have ever ridden a bike on the beach.
And in wet sand, no less.
And in wet sand, that shit is probably hard. I've never done it. I was like, I don't know if you guys ever have, because neither have I. I don't know anything about it, but it seems pretty hard.
Visually and practically, but it seems rough. Maybe they have special bike tires.
Needless to say, they save the day. They save our little Mellow, our Tucker.
And then for once, they have a charge that they can stick on Carl.
It's all battery. What's that one, Carl, huh? What's that one?
242.
Yeah, that's right. Resisting arrest.
What's that one? What's that one?
Huh? 148. Best of all, assaulting a police officer. What number?
243.
243 PC, and for that one, you're going away for a long time, Carl. I think I got you. What are you doing?
And so they take him in, and yes, they finally have a charge against him, and all is said and done. Well, we should make a side note that Mello, or Tucker...
Well, we should just wrap up that storyline with TC finally gets Del Toro... And the guy from the beginning of the show that got assaulted down to the beach for a surf lesson. And they all do it together.
Are
and they're all minorities.
Me?
There's a black guy.
I was going to end it with the Tucker gets to design their bike seats.
Yeah, well, I'm not ruining that for you. You're the one that's
you totally
crashing your own party right
you
now.
You totally cut my happy ending off and went for a total different ending.
Okay,
well,
yeah. You stepped on your own toes
Tucker,
there, bud.
Tucker the Tagger. All the police officers ask him to paint their bicycle seats.
And now for the good news. I have here a check. A check for $150.
No way.
It's $150 for a first in a series brightly painted bicycle seat. The new owner let me borrow it to make my point.
Officer McNamara, point me. Mm-hmm.
So he decorates their bicycle seats. Like Cadence said,
he gets paid $150.
Yeah, 1996. That's almost like.
Bought a house with that. He bought a house on Venice Beach.
So that wraps up the episode.
The other real brief thing we'll talk about is that this episode has a theme song that...
Oh, we gotta play that.
Down in Doheny, where the surfers all go, there's a big bleached blondie named Surfer Joe. He's got a green surfboard with a woody to match, and when he's riding the freeways, man, is he hard to catch. Surfer Joe, now look at him go. Surfer, surfer, surfer Joe, go man, go. Surfer Joe. He went down to Huntington Beach one week for the annual Surfers Convention meet. He was hanging five and walking the nose, and when the meet was
it's
over,
perfect.
The trophy was Joe. Surfer Joe.
Like dangerous?
Surfer Joe went down to the surf convention and bought a surfboard. Surfer Joe is there. He's driving on the highway 180 and he goes to the beach and he sits on the beach.
And sometimes he has to get gas in his car. Surfer
and
Joe,
like
go Joe, go in your car to the beach, 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 in your sunroof.
It's the biggest Beach Boys ripoff ever. It's hilarious.
So bad.
Yeah, so that was that. That was today's episode, guys. Hope you liked it. Hope you were able to catch up because we were all over the place.
You know what? I think if you're on this journey with us thus far, you're on the journey no matter
we're
what the ride is.
Investors. All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
It was definitely, I think, food poisoning because they didn't have a fever
definitely,
or anything.
Definitely, I
but
think, maybe, perhaps, not sure, but definitely food poisoning.
Food poisoning. But you guys, we were having a conversation because Alex, my partner, he was making fun of me the whole time because I apparently vomit like demons are coming out. Like I was like shaking in the house and we almost had to text our neighbors downstairs to be like, sorry, no one's getting murdered. We aren't doing an exorcism down here or up here. It's It's just Colin barfing because I was just like
and
so
Alex
intense.
Was texting me to tell me that Colin couldn't come because he was sick, and he was like, "But make sure to make jokes about how loud he barfs on the next episode." And I was like, "You know, it must be a Stanley thing / sibling thing because I am also an incredibly loud vomiter." And I
you guys,
don't.
You have to. I don't know
don't
who can
get
do it
who
quiet.
Can do it silently.
Who's just like. I mean, it depends on the type of barf,
my
too.
My body's like, I'm trying to rid myself of whatever is
in here. Oh, my God.
Here,
my veins are popping. Yes. My capillaries pop. I can't breathe.
Such bad petechia. It's
I
so
hate
intense.
It.
I almost
feel like,
suffocate every time.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to suffocate. And then I, like, am really dramatic. And I grab my chest and I gasp. And I'm like. And it's just pure drama.
So. If you loved talking about vomit, be sure to join us on our other podcast, What's Vomiting Up With You?
Are you a loud vomiter or a quiet, quiet vomiter? I also like coming up because Katie has really cool kids. Well,
they're okay.
They're all right. They're getting into those teen years, but I love them.
They
love
are,
them to death.
I mean, all things considered, this is what I tell myself.
Katie got, she had kids very, very young.
So young. All the time, if I'm at work and people are like, oh, how old are your kids? And I'm like, oh, my oldest is 16. They'll be like, oh, no, I thought you were like 29. And I'll be like, oh, really?
I am. We do have good skin, though. Our jeans.
You're going to get a free haircut today.
So loud barfing is complemented by really good skin. It's
yeah,
a family
I guess
thing.
It's just like it goes two and two.
Mm-hmm.
So
love
you know
that
what?
Skin.
I'll take the loud barf if it gives me
Hells
this
yeah.
skin. I'll
Hells
take
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but I like coming here because I feel like famous when I come here because they just run outside and greet me and they just surround my car. And
they're like
Colin,
your,
paparazzi.
Entourage.
Oh, yeah, like my entourage. And they're just mm-hmm. like, what? And they ask me all these questions like, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh, what kind of car is it? Where did you get gas? Where? And I'm just like, I'm putting my hand out and like no flashes. It's like walking with my bag to the door. Just head down walking to the door. Please,
they...
no.
And that's like not even an exaggeration. On a day-to-day basis, they'll be like, when are we going to see Colin next? What is Colin doing right now? What do you think Colin's doing? Can I text Colin? Can I call Colin? Do you think Colin will want to talk to me? Do you think I can FaceTime Colin? Do you think we could play games together on Discord with Colin? They do. Worship the ground he walks on.
It's great. I love them so much. So yeah, it's fun to be up here. Yeah,
they don't do that for me so much. So
enjoy. All right, guys. So it's another beautiful day in... California, hottest day of the summer. And we're met on a helicopter with four men, and they all have like their individual like Power Ranger colors to like mm-hmm. you know, because they're a gang.
That's
you
probably
have to know,
part of the meeting that they have. They're like,
what colors
are
gonna
pick
wear?
Our colors well, how does this represent you?
But red is definitely same within Power Rangers, it's a power color. Red
oh,
is a power
yes,
color, so you always know red's the leader. And the three men kind of like talking to Red, and there's a man named Todd that comes up to right. Red,
and this is important because it plants the seed for the plot of the entire episode. Todd is telling the leader, he's like, I've been thinking about the big one.
The big one?
The big one.
Oh, they're skydiving.
Right.
We're not doing, we're already telling a really good story.
Oh, right. So okay. One of them is actually them. Having a baby on the helicopter. Let me back up.
Let's
they
back
were
up.
Born in Michigan. Let me back up.
Okay. They are four men, helicopter, all different colors to show their different personalities. The head one, his red. We'll call him Red for now. There's a guy talking to him. His name is Todd. They're all about to skydive over the beaches of California. Go.
And Todd decides that now is the time to talk about something very important.
Very important.
Which
that
is
loud helicopter noises.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I got something
they
to say.
All have headphones on. They can barely hear each other. They're shouting. Mm-hmm. But now's the time Todd chooses to say, listen, I've been pondering the quote, big one.
The big one.
And I don't think I want to do it. It doesn't seem like a good idea. It doesn't seem smart. And I'm not in.
So Red, the leader's like, oh, that's cool. Let's just focus on skydiving.
You know
today.
What? Yeah, it's
Let's
totally fine.
Whatever
I'm so
you say.
Glad
Todd,
you told me.
Todd, you're cool. Let's jump. So they all jump. Later, they come to the beach. Three of the men come back.
No, no,
Where's
no,
Todd?
No, no. We're not later. We're not latering this.
Well, after they land.
They literally
they land.
Parachute out with the helicopter. Todd's parachute does not come out. He falls to his death in the ocean. And this is also same.
Well, I was going to get there. I was saying they later, they came in.
But you made it seem like on a different day, later.
I meant later when they landed.
A few days later, they're coming back.
No, when after they land.
Immediately after they land. Also, as per usual, as with everything in the show, it's the middle of the day.
Tons of people on the beach.
Tons of tourists, thousands of people milling about. No one saw them parachute.
No one saw the helicopter.
No one saw Todd fall to his death.
His floppy little body hit the water. Someone would have seen that.
Nothing. Nope. Nobody. So they're having a powwow. They're having a gang meeting on the beach. And the leader, Red, is like, you know what? We can't call the authorities. And his other gang friends are like, no, we have to. Like, it's Todd's dead. Like,
Todd died, dude.
He hit the ground. Or not the ground. He hit the ocean. At
Can we start over? Are we really not good at this? We are doing